Welcome to Docs in a Pod, presented by WellMed. Over the next half hour, Docs in a Pod will educate you about the health and wellness of adults everywhere. Co-hosts Dr. Tamika Perry and award-winning veteran broadcaster Ron Aaron will share information to improve your health and well-being. And now, here are Ron Aaron and Dr. Tamika Perry.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on the award-winning Docs in a Pod. We're available wherever you get your podcasts. We're on the radio as well in a number of markets in Texas and Florida. I'm Ron Aaron. Our co-host, Dr. Tamika Perry, is with us. Dr. Perry is an associate medical director and physician at WellMed at Redbird Square in Dallas, completed her master's degree at the University of North Texas Health Science Center in Fort Worth, earned her medical degree at Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine in Philadelphia, also earned her master's in public health from the University of North Texas. Dr. Perry is a graduate, has a graduate degree, undergraduate degree from Prairie View A&M University. And she also, on a side, loves to travel and has been to seven continents, looking to get to Antarctica, Australia, and South America to complete that commitment. And Dr. Perry, it's great to have you with us.
So I've been to four of the seven. And so, I think I only have two left. I have been to South America. So I have Australia and Antarctica left. So yeah, I'm excited about that. So I haven't really got many of my friends to sign on because in a few years, believe it or not, Ron, I'll be 50. I know you all thought I was like Doogie Howser in 15, but that's okay. You know, in a few years, I'll be 50. So that's where I want to do for my 50th. But no one's going to really Antarctica, Tamika. If I have to do it by myself, I'm going to do it.
What would you do there?
Take a selfie so my iPhone proves that I was there, then get back on the plane and go back. get back on the plane or boat and go back to South America.
Yeah. How do you do in cold weather?
I've learned to appreciate skiing, but I think I do much better in warmer weather.
Well, unfortunately, the Earth is warming, so by the time you get to Antarctica, it may be okay.
It may be okay, but I still don't think it's going to be swimsuit season in Antarctica anytime soon.
Well, this month is occupational therapy month, and I'm assuming that among your patients, frequently you are referring a patient for occupational therapy.
I am so excited to have our guest today because I have to admit, y'all don't tell anyone, it wasn't until I was in medical school that I knew what an occupational therapist actually did. I'm like, why is that different than physical therapy? But yes, I use occupational therapy quite often. And so I am excited to hear the nuances of the profession.
Well, let's introduce Andrew Morgan. Dr. Morgan has a doctorate in physical therapy. He's had over 20 years or more of clinical experience, earned his Bachelor of Science of Education degree from Baylor University, and his master's and doctorate degrees in physical therapy from UT Health Science Center in San Antonio. And he has worked for Home Care Dimensions under the WellMed banner in United Healthcare Group. He has spent a lot of time in the field, not only as a practitioner, but as a supervisor, as a manager, and a teacher. He's a regular contributor to Docs in a Pod and other WellMed radio opportunities, and he has given talks at WellMed senior centers in Texas and elsewhere, and we are delighted, Andrew Morgan, to have you with us.
Hey, Ron. Thank you for having me again. Always look forward to getting to chat with you.
Let's begin with what Dr. Perry was really dancing around. What is occupational therapy, and how does that compare with and differ from physical therapy?
So I'll begin with, there are a lot of similarities. There's a lot of crossover between what a physical therapist does and what an occupational therapist does. I'd say when you really start to get to some of the nuanced differences, especially for the listeners, if you think about gross motor movements, walking, getting in and out of a car, so transfers, big motor movements, that's probably going to fall under physical therapy. Mm-hmm. With occupational therapy, you're looking at a lot more of the fine motor stuff, activities of daily living, like, you know, brushing your hair, brushing your teeth, dressing, that's going to more fall under occupational therapy. Not to say that, you know, there's been plenty of times if occupational therapy is not available, I may wind up working on the activities of daily living, and an occupational therapist, you know, if physical therapy is not available, may wind up working on something like ambulation or gait training.
So you're really cross-trained.
There is a lot. There is a bit of crossover. Some people think that, you know, it's a misnomer out there that the occupational therapist, they work on the upper body, and PTs only work on the lower body. You know, I jokingly will tell people, yeah, that's right. I remember when I was in physical therapy school, when we were working on, you know, doing cadaver lab, you know, we had a curtain that just was from the waist down. We weren't allowed to look at anything from the waist up. So that's not the case. In fact, occupational therapists, they work on the legs just like PTs will work on the arms.
So. All right, stay with us just a minute. I want to let folks know who may have just joined us. You're listening to the award-winning Docs in a Pod. I'm Ron Aaron, along with our co-host, Dr. Tamika Perry, and our special guest today is Andrew Morgan, has a doctorate in physical therapy, works for Home Care Dimensions, a WellMed company, and we're talking about, in really honor of Occupational Therapy Month, what it's all about and how it works. And I can remember, Andrew, after I had knee replacement surgery, you came out, you were assigned to come out as my physical therapist to get that knee working again and to get me up and moving about. When you address those kinds of surgical challenges, especially with older people, what are you looking for? What are your concerns?
So, you know, really, when somebody asks me what is a physical therapist is a movement scientist. So I'm looking at how you're moving. I am an expert in normal human movement. So is an occupational therapist. We're, you know, even a speech language pathologist, all of us are really focused on how the human body is supposed to move, normal human movement. And therefore we spot things that are abnormal. And, you know, so like in your case, since you brought it up, I don't want to, you know, no violating HIPAA.
No, I waive my HIPAA. I'm a HIPAA waiver.
So, you know, when somebody has a knee replacement, they're going to have limitations in range of motion. And that's going to be the very first thing that we want to focus on is restoring, you know, that normal motion to the knee. And what that's going to do is then allow you to be up and moving around, you know, start walking. You know, some of the things that I'm going to look at, you know, okay, is your foot clearing enough? Is it, you know, so that you're not at a risk for falling? You know, an occupational therapist, when it comes to a knee replacement, may look at something like, okay, you're not able to bend your knee as much, so therefore you're having difficulty with bathing and reaching certain areas. So they might come in with some adaptive equipment and teach you how to use that so that you know, you're able to wash all of those difficult to reach places.
I can remember when I was about to have my surgery, Dr. Uwe Pontius was my surgeon. He's now retired, but I asked him what in hindsight was a pretty silly question, but he didn't laugh. I said, okay, so you're putting in this metal chunk that becomes my new knee joint. How does it know to move? What makes it understand how to do the stuff knees do?
You know, the human body is a remarkable thing. That's really how I'll start. The human body is a remarkable thing. I remember my neighbor, my former neighbor, he's an ENT. And he was really interested in orthopedics until he observed his first hip replacement. Mm-hmm. And his wife is a physical therapist as well. And he said, I don't know how people walk after that. You know, let alone everything. I don't know how you walk. He had a respect for what it is that therapists do.
Absolutely. Well, you know, like the signal to tell the what to do isn't cut off. You just, you know, the actual joint itself has been replaced. But I, Dr. Morgan, I agree with that whole orthopedic situation. When I was in med school, you know, as a med student, when something is getting amputated, your job is to hold the extremity until it's cut off, and then you're like holding someone's leg there, right? You know, in that situation. But orthopedic surgery is extremely, and I love all my orthopedic surgeons, but it looks brutal when you're in there. And the tools that you use, I, as God is my witness, when the first time I saw like a replacement of a joint, I'm like, that's the same thing my dad has in his toolbox. Like that's literally like a drill, a chisel. I mean, like that's just my dad's screwdriver. He has, and we're doing that to our bodies. So my hat's off to those professions, but my a bigger hat off to you guys to help us, you know, cope with those joint replacements afterwards and help us do things like bathe our parts and walk to the kitchen. And because it really isn't that a major difference in occupational and physical therapy? You're teaching me how to move in order for, so I can do my activities of daily living. I can get my life back the way that it used to be, like if I've had a stroke or had a joint replacement.
Yes, that's the big thing. We're both focused on movement. Since you mentioned walking to the kitchen, I've had as an instructor, I've had some, well, gait training, that's just for physical therapy. And I said, really? How, OTs work on cooking. How are you going to get to the kitchen
Right.
if you don't work on the gait training? So, it really, some of it some of it comes down to how we document, but really, the human body. I look at these things as patient-centered goals. What are the things that we need to address with you as a patient? I'm less concerned about, oh, this is the OT scope of practice. This is the PT scope of practice. If it's speech, I probably feel the least comfortable going into there. But I really want to look at what is the patient's concern.
Correct.
Now, stay with us. We're going to come right back to you. We're talking about Occupational Therapy Month, talking about both physical therapy and occupational therapy. And speaking personally, not being able to walk into the kitchen would not have hurt me. I'm Ron Aaron, along with our co-host, Dr. Tamika Perry, and our special guest, Dr. Andrew Morgan. You're listening to the award-winning Docs in a Pod.
Turning 65, it's time for an important choice, deciding what Medicare coverage is best for you. WellMed can help. When you become a WellMed patient, you can connect our primary care with a Medicare Advantage plan. WellMed doctors and care teams spend quality time with you, listening and learning about your health. WellMed and a Medicare Advantage plan could be right for you. Choose WellMed. Learn more at 866-433-5048. That's 866-433-5048.
Well, thank you so much for sticking with us right here on Docs in a Pod. I'm Ron Aaron, along with our co-host, Dr. Tamika Perry, the award-winning Docs in a Pod, available wherever you get your podcast and on the radio as well in a number of markets in Texas and in Florida. Our special guest today in honor of Occupational Therapy Month is Andrew Morgan, a doctorate in physical therapy, and we're talking about what occupational and physical therapists do. So, Dr. Morgan, I want to go back to the beginning. How and why did you choose this profession?
I always knew that I wanted to do something in the medical field. And, in middle school and in high school, I was an athlete. Actually, in college too, I was an athlete. And at some point, I can't remember exactly when I discovered the field of physical therapy. And, at first I thought I really wanted to go work with athletes. And then I realized that I did not want to work with athletes. They're probably one of the most difficult populations to work with. And I fell in love with working with geriatrics. And I really take a sports medicine approach, into the home, with our geriatric patients.
And when you work with them, I heard you say early on, you're trying to find what their goals are versus what
yes.
your goal might be.
It has to be centered on what the patient wants.
And
go ahead. Sorry.
No. I apologize. What you said earlier really resonated with me. You said, you know, you're a doctor of movement or mechanics. And
yep.
so we're not talking about like prescribing medicines or rubbing on, well, maybe some topicals, but really talking about how your body moves and how you can help individuals move their body, right?
That's correct. I mean, it you know, if you think about, I sometimes I'll liken what I do to being a car mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people, when they go see a physical therapist, it's probably because of some sort of pain. And, you know, I'm concerned about the pain to the extent that I can figure out what causes it. Pain is a symptom of an underlying problem. And if it's something that is musculoskeletal in origin, then my goal at first is to reproduce the pain. Mm-hmm. And then that tells me, you know, what it is that I need to correct. So I'm really trying to correct that movement dysfunction so that, you know, again, what our patients are concerned about is the pain so that they don't have that pain.
And when you see somebody walking on the street or wherever you may be, can you spot people who, man, if they walked a little differently, they would do so much better?
My wife has to stop me from doing it sometimes. This is a true story. So one of the things we learned, I think it was my first year in physical therapy school, it's called observational gait analysis. It's how you walk. I mean, that's a fancy way of saying how you walk. And my instructor, my professor, he told us all, go to the mall. He said, go to North Star Mall.
That's in San Antonio.
San Antonio. Go to North Star Mall. Watch how people walk. Get behind somebody and try to mimic what they're doing. And that'll help you really figure out that's a good way to learn gait analysis. He was joking, I think, when he told us that, but I actually did it.
And were arrested as a stalker.
No, but it really did help me. Like the instruction was actually a good instruction, really, to learn what is going on mechanically with somebody. But the problem is, even today, without realizing it, sometimes I'll be watching somebody and my wife will catch me starting to walk like them, and I don't even do it on purpose anymore. And she'll kind of elbow me and tell me to knock it off.
Now, so Dr. Morgan, when you was doing your exercises, did you go as far as to put on the type of shoes? So would you put on the ladies' high heel shoes? Because, you know, I promise I walk different in high heels than I do in my flats. So to get a true analysis now, you know what I mean? You really want to see the gait, you gotta walk the walk for real.
If you were to ask any physical therapist, uh-huh. any physical therapist or OT is going to tell uh-huh. you, don't wear heels. They're just a problem.
They're terrible.
Yes.
Yeah. You would probably just go bananas if you opened up my closet. Like, why, oh, why, you know?
I mean, from one respect, I could say, well, that's job security for me because I can see all the problems
yes,
you're going to
yes,
have
yes,
later
yes,
on.
Yes, yes. You know, you made a great point about, you know, looking at someone and saying, really analyzing, reproducing your pain and how could you fix the pain? And I want to say how your profession 100% complements my profession. And we work intimately. The two professions are intimately tied together, right? And this is because, you know, we don't necessarily as clinicians want you to take medicine, a pill for everything. We do not. Like if you repeatedly take NSAIDs, you know, that can, and NSAIDs are like non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, regular ibuprofen, Motrin, Aleve that you get over the counter, you could knock out your kidneys. You take regular Tylenol that you get over the counter. If you take too much of it, you can knock out your liver. We want to utilize every modality possible to help you alleviate pain, suffering, and maintain your normal activities of daily living.
And for our regular listeners who may know, but others may not know that you have a DO, a doctorate in osteopathy, and mm-hmm. you look at how the body works as well as the medical ailments that we may face.
I do. So, and you know, DOs are training you something called manipulative medicine, in which, much like Dr. Morgan, we look at the body, we try to reproduce that pain, and we say, what type of mechanical maneuver, what type of manipulative maneuver can we do to help alleviate that pain? And sometimes we use it in solo, sometimes we use it in conjunction with pharmacotherapy. But the point is that any clinician wants you to use as many modalities that's going to cause that causes the least amount of harm to you as possible to get you back to your normal function.
That's right. Yeah. And I'm also trained in joint manipulation, and a lot of people like it when we do that, but it's one of those, that's not my go-to thing. I will use it if I have to in the geriatric population, not that often, but I have a couple of times. But even then, it's like, okay, we've freed up the mechanical restriction.
Right.
Now you've got to move in this new available range of motion. Otherwise, it's going to go right back to how it was before.
Exactly. Exactly.
And how do you relearn to move in a different way?
Oh, well, to quote Yoda, you must unlearn what you have learned. That's through repetition, lots and lots of it takes, when it comes to motor learning, and I use the term musculoskeletal earlier, if any of my professional colleagues are listening, I apologize because I know the new term is neuromusculoskeletal, and this is the neuro part of it, is it takes 1,000 to 3,000 repetitions to learn a motor function, whatever that function is. It could be swinging a golf club. It could be shooting free throws. It could be getting on and off of a chair. But if you've learned a motor pattern incorrectly, it takes 3 to 5 times that to unlearn and then relearn it correctly. So that's where having somebody like an OT, like a PT, come in and observe how you're doing things, to make the corrections where possible, teach you how to do it correctly. And if it's not, if we can't, sometimes you mentioned earlier about having a stroke. Sometimes someone may have a stroke and the motor function is just not going to return. Now we have to adapt, and that's where, teaching somebody how to use adaptive equipment may come in, and we modify the movement itself.
And a lot of times PT and OT, from my experience, will give the patient homework. Like, these are exercises to do on your own after you've taught someone. And so I try to reiterate, it's so important that you do your homework. You just don't do it 3 to 5 times there a week. You do your homework.
I call it your muscle medicine.
There you go.
You take your blood pressure medicine from your heart doctor, from your primary care physician. I'm your muscle doctor. So you got to take your muscle medicine.
It's interesting. After my knee replacement surgery, a woman who was working with me as an occupational therapist, my wife said, can you help Ron understand how to get in and out of his car without putting stress on his new knee? And she did. We went out to the car. She showed me a way to get in, turn around, sit down, and then swing my legs around that I had never thought about. And, of course, I went right back to the old way of doing it, stretching my leg in and reaching in and kind of hauling myself in. But had I practiced that, it would become habit.
You get 3,000 repetitions. Yeah.
There you go. And that's called regression. That's called regression to the mean. Nature likes nature likes things to be in equilibrium, and that's what. So you've got to be consciously aware and practice doing it correctly. There's a misnomer. Practice makes perfect. Practice makes permanent.
Yes.
It's
I like that.
That's a bumper sticker. I like that.
Oh, I love that.
Trademark.
So before we let you go, we just have about 30 seconds or so. Tell me when you think you should see and might need a physical therapist, is that something you can recognize yourself, or does it take a PCP to see it?
So I'll say more often than not, the person that recognizes it is the family member.
Mm-hmm.
Our patients will patients will tell me, oh, I can do everything. You know, if I ask my patients, half of them will, oh, yep, I climbed Mount Everest last week and I'm doing the Ironman triathlon next week.
Yeah.
Patients can do everything and they've never had a fall. But family members are usually the ones that'll notice when there's been a change.
Got to stop you right there, Andrew Morgan. Thank you so much, Dr. Andrew Morgan, our special guest today. And to our co-host, Dr. Tamika Perry, thank you all for joining us on the award-winning Docs in a Pod.
Executive producers for Docs in a Pod are Dan Calderon and Leah Madrano. Associate producer is Charisse Pendleton. Thank you for listening to Docs in a Pod, presented by WellMed. We welcome your emails with suggestions and comments on this program at radio@wellmed.net. And be sure to listen next week to Docs in a Pod, presented by WellMed.